Welcome to the Survivor Podcast with Jay, Jack, and Colleen. I'm Jack, and
I am John.
This is JP from New Jersey.
Jack, I have a question. At what point do you change the show, or at least put the words "in theory" in parentheses after the names?
I don't do anything. I just show up.
Fair enough.
Record, and then I go. Well, I stay. I'm here at home, but I go on to the next podcast. Like, I'm doing Dancing with the Stars after this one, so. So there you go.
Which one's the bigger letdown? I'm just curious how you're looking at it.
You know, I've kind of gotten into Dancing with the Stars.
Well, it's the beginning of the season. You can still have hope.
Unfortunately, I've learned I can tell a bad dance from a good dance now. So,
all right.
It's sad.
Your inner Len Goodman, is he still on the show?
Yeah. Well, I have Len's hair, so it works. Right.
There you go. So who's this other guy? I don't know him. What's going on? I'm not comfortable with this.
It's JP from New Jersey. Tell us a little about yourself. I can't hear you.
You can't.
Can you hear?
All right. Well, that's all I need to know, folks. Good. Moving on.
I guess the internet's a little slow in New Jersey. Is that the problem?
Oh boy. Welcome JP. To the Ghost Island of Survivor Podcasts.
He got an advantage, and he's
He didn't have to speak this entire episode, which I think that's a good one actually.
Let me try a different one.
Sad thing is, it worked perfect before we started recording. Yeah. That's usually how it works.
Can you hear me?
No, still can't hear you. I can see you, but I can't hear you. Tiny bubble.
Thumbnail's kind of going stop motion on us, so you're kind of in and out.
You can try shutting it off, turning it back on again. Anyway, in the meantime, John, how's your week been going?
My week has been going okay. I am kind of in a lull. I have some stuff going on at school over the summer. I'm an assistant directing a show. Then I got a class starting up, so it's spaced out actually pretty nice. But this is kind of, you know, my exhale from the end of the semester. So it's timed out pretty nice. But if I had any more time off, I'd kind of start going stir crazy because I need stuff to do. So it actually kind of works out well.
I understand not having things to do. I mean, it does get... It does get crazy when you don't have anything to do.
Yeah, because I got, you know, like 11 months left down here, and it's like, you know, there isn't, you know, it's nice, you know, getting to see my family and school's good, but like there isn't really anything else to do for me here. So like if I, you know, I got to get occupied or else you just go, okay, I get cabin fever here.
So after school, are you staying in Florida? Are you going to move?
No. I'll be probably heading back to the West Coast. I mean, it depends on, obviously it depends on what school I get into from this point on. Right. But I'm successfully navigating three quarters of the country. I don't know if I'll be hitting the Pacific Northwest anytime soon, but I'll probably be heading back either to the Northeast or to the Great American Southwest, as those are kind of where the schools are for what I'm into. And, you know, it makes sense for me to be back out in LA for all like the film stuff I want to do. And there are a lot of schools in that area anyway. This is kind of like a year and a half detour, which will just kind of give me a better day-to-day living situation. So
living in Florida was setting you up for your retirement, right?
Well, exactly. All this is just a preview. But in all seriousness, it's been really nice because, you know, for the past 7 years, I only really got to see my parents, you know, for like 1 week a year. You know, and we talk on the phone a lot and, you know, that's nice. But this is making up for some lost times. It actually turned out pretty well, I think.
Yeah, it is different when you're not actually in the same, because I know I grew up, you know, first 40 years I was around my parents all the time, and then move 3,000 miles away. You see them, you know, once in a blue moon.
Yeah,
which sometimes a good thing, but
that's not how it should be. So I'm actually happy. I think it's actually work. I was saying to actually Colleen the other day, you know, it's nice when something goes according to plan. Like this kind of went exactly how I was hoping it would. Because even still, you know, moving across country and everything again, I mean, it was a big thing. Even though it was like, okay, this is going to feel weird, but it's going to be in the long term a better decision. So far so good.
That's good.
JP, are you back? I see you moving again.
Can you hear me? Hopefully, yes. I am back.
Here we go. Much better. Much better.
I'm sitting right next to the router now, so hopefully we're good.
All right. Well, that's how technology works. So.
Is that old school where you have to get plugged in?
I think I'm on 56K at this point.
Did you take it out, blow it, then put it like in an NES cartridge?
That's exactly what I did. Yeah. That's exactly what I did.
Well, I'm glad this is our Ghost Island spectacular. I know that we've all prepared many statements about how Ghost Island has touched our lives deeply. Jack, I know you have about a 30-minute prepared monologue at this point. You know, to talk at length. You know, we have all the time in the world.
Yeah, I'm done with Ghost Island complaining. So it's only got a few more weeks to go, so I can survive.
JP, your thoughts on Ghost Island?
I thought I was invited to do the Westworld podcast.
Okay, starting the show over.
I'm done with Ghost Island also. I think at this point, you know, especially with them just giving Wendell a reward. I mean, at this point, it's just an idea that's really gone nowhere.
Yeah, I did like the fourth wall breaking, I think maybe inadvertently by Probst, who was like, we'll just give you something this time. Okay, just go there. You'll get something. It's like, yeah, all right, thanks.
Because even though they record it like months and months ago, they probably knew people are going to start complaining about it, Ghost Island, probably about third or fourth episode. We just got to get them something.
Yeah, JP, you said you were done with Ghost Island. When did we begin with Ghost Island?
I think it was the third or fourth time somebody broke one of those
urns,
and there was nothing in there.
Yeah. Yeah, that can happen. So you're saying that was maybe a little bit of a letdown as a viewer.
Huge letdown. Huge
okay.
letdown.
Okay. We have you on record, so that's good.
It's kind of like going to a movie and there's just no movie showing.
That would be disappointing. Go to a movie and there's
no popcorn maybe. Because I've been to some movies, they showed the movie, and it's like I wish there was no movie. And we've all been to those movies, haven't we?
Mm. Oh, absolutely.
All right. Well, we had an interesting episode. We in some ways got back to basics because we had the family visit, which we knew was coming, which is always interesting. We had one spouse, which was rare, maybe just because we had a younger group that was left. But what did you guys think about it? We had one spouse and pretty much the brothers, sisters, couple kids.
Yeah. And Aunt Patty.
Aunt Patty, yes. You know, I was thinking when I was watching it, I don't know if I've talked about this before. What do you think of this strategy? You tell your loved ones, don't come. And then you get, and nobody knows that that's your plan. And you get like maybe some sympathy because your loved one didn't show up.
So it's like Fair Play 2.0.
Exactly. But you're not saying anyone died. They just, no, of course, they missed the flight or something happened. And you're just like, well, my loved one didn't show up, because everyone is so emotional every time a loved one comes out. Can you imagine being there and not having a loved one?
Well, if they fly United Airlines, that's possible.
But you think that would sway any voters? I mean, your way.
I mean, it is interesting that pretty much Fair Play is the only person in all of Survivor history to actually use this strategically.
Right.
Because this is an opportunity here. Yeah. And it absolutely did work. I mean, Sandra didn't buy it, which was amazing in her game. Right. It was a great story. But it's like, I mean, it pretty much worked hook, line, and sinker, even though, you know, Thunder D literally forgot what he was supposed to say when he got out there and started talking to Fair Play about Roddy Piper. But yeah. Aside from that, in all these seasons, that's really been the only time strategically that's been used, when anyone who's, if you know you're on Survivor, you go, look, this is a card I could play. I mean, it is interesting that literally no one else has thought to use that.
And you could just be shocked and go, wait, no one, they didn't show up. And you could make, you know, the crying and do the whole thing. Say, no, you guys are good. You guys, your family's here. You enjoy it, you know. And people go, oh, how could you? You haven't seen your loved ones in 30, 35 days, whatever it is. I don't mean to sound insensitive, but if I've gone that long, if I'm trying to win the $1 million, I can go another week.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the strategy, though, because I feel like people would sort of feel bad for you for like 5 minutes, but then everything's about them, their loved ones, and the challenge and who's staying on. I feel like you need something with a little more staying power. I think it's definitely bringing someone is key, but you got to have a plan of attack. You got to tell them that, like, okay, there's like a certain person we're going to target and they have to go do something, but without making it seem like they're in on it. Like, they have to be doing something in theory that would be totally opposite to what you want, that maybe would sow confusion or something. But it is interesting when this is one of the few guarantees you get in Survivor. I mean, we had a season or two without a loved one. I think that was due to a weather situation that they couldn't travel. But beyond that, I mean, this is something you really could plan for. And we've just never seen that. And we've gotten even people, you know, with the whole Hance family. You think that would have been like a whole subplot of them, you know, planning all their devious notions, you know, with bringing in all their family members who, between the, you know, all the CBS reality shows, I think we've like met the entire family tree at this point. But like, you've had people who have gone on the show to be villains, not just Fair Play or Russ. Like, I am really actually shocked that that has just never come into play at all.
Do you think production, though, would allow you to do that? I mean, it sounds like, you know, they probably are already saying, you know, my Aunt Patty's going to be the person that's coming for me, and they're making sure that Aunt Patty has a ticket and a flight.
Okay, I mean, yeah, so bring Aunt Patty, but tell Aunt Patty to start some stuff. I don't know.
That's true.
Because, yeah. I mean, they didn't know about, they production was fooled by Fairplay. Like, literally, they called home after that, and then they were literally, like, his grandma was the one who answered the phone. I mean, like, they don't have to be in it. You're not doing anything illegal. You're not doing anything that's breaking the show rules. I mean, it is just interesting that no one really is using this strategically. I think everyone's like, oh, we get a break, and that's fun. And then, but we have seen multiple instances of people sort of like, oh, I didn't, care for this person, but then I saw them with their loved one, and they were so sensitive, and then it made me look at them a different way. Like, yeah. There is a break in the game, and especially at this point with few people left, where I think there are some opportunities that haven't been used.
Yeah, but like you said, with Fairplay, you couldn't do the person dying, because that Fairplay set that up. It's one thing that, like, I'd be honest, I wouldn't believe if I was on and someone said, yeah, okay, yeah, Fairplay, you're not getting my sympathy. It's just that there's got to be something else you could do to get to your advantage, or at least give you an extra day.
I mean, he even said if he had been selected for Survivor All-Stars that he had another plan. Like, he wouldn't have done the same thing with the loved ones, but that he had a second plan, and he just never said what that was. So I don't know. I there's got to be some opportunities there.
I mean, there was, even in tonight's episode, there was a moment when Donathan did say to his Aunt Patty, you know, how's my mom? How's my grandma? If they had planned ahead, you know, based on their emotional levels right at that point, I would have believed it. If Aunt Patty had said, your mom, she took a turn for the worst or something like that, I would have believed it.
And she was like, Randy Orton got fired. He's like, damn it, Grant, not now, not wrestling, no more wrestling. You're a first, Aunt Patty, damn it.
Yeah, but there are things you can do, but nobody does it.
Yeah. Oh, well, what are you going to do? They need us on the show, gentlemen. If we three of us on the show, we coordinate our loved ones. We get like a trifecta going on. That's some next level plays.
You know, we got the challenge. You get the challenge, and Wendell gets off to a fast lead. Was he building something that was to code? What took him so long to dig the hole?
I thought this challenge was really pedantic. I mean, I thought it was just like, it was one of those, they had a piece of one challenge, a piece of another, and they kind of put it together. I always think they're missing out on an opportunity when they don't use the loved ones in a challenge. Those are the best ones. When they have a loved one visit, you got to use them in the challenge. You got to have, like, you know, the blindfolded loved one challenge in China, or the ones where, you know, they're tossing water to each other and Colby and his brother get like in a hissy fit about it. Like, those are great moments we get from the loved one challenges that, you know, I don't know why they don't, that's not a guarantee, because how many times do you even get to do a partner type challenge on Survivor anyway? And then you're normally getting one or two people who are just so unfit for the game that it's just funny to watch. So I never understand why they just let them, you know, sit and watch. And I think another great opportunity on the production side that they're kind of squandering.
Yeah, this was a very cut and dry challenge as far as I'm concerned. I think it was actually Angela, with her military background, I thought this challenge was geared more towards her. I'm surprised how far back she fell.
Yeah, well, she couldn't do the beam. She couldn't do the balance beam.
It's like military training right there.
Well, you know, she has to serve the country, but she has to sacrifice her family. Which Jessica Lease, a colleague of mine on the RHAP network, actually, I thought had a very good tweet that, quite frankly, like, Jeff probably never would have said that to a guy. I think that's true. So that's something to think about.
Well, you mentioned how having the families, you know, do the challenges. Would that change who you pick to come out? If you knew that was what's going to happen, you go, all right, if I want to win this challenge, and this one I thought at least had something if you won, and I can't believe Seabass didn't take it, but that's just Seabass. At least it had some kind of reward at the end for winning, not just spending time with your family, who wouldn't want to do that, but you could go to Ghost Island and get an advantage, but he didn't want it. Seabass, but would you change who you're going to pick if you knew that you were going to do and maybe it was a physical challenge that I need to pick someone I know that's is physically fit and can do the challenge?
Yeah, maybe, but I think that's something that production can easily sort of zag if you did that, and then, you know, if they sort of see that people are doing that, then all of a sudden it's a puzzle building challenge. Like, I think at the end of the day, you can't plan enough for that, you know, it's still, I think it still should be bring out who you want to bring out or just who could come anyway. And I think they would want a wide variety of people. Like, I mean, you had a lot of, you know, in theory, like athletic people, and then you had Aunt Patty. And like, if they all had to run the challenge together, that would have been funny no matter what it was. And maybe it would have been something that Aunt Patty was better at if it had been a puzzle or something like that. Like, I think there are moments that you could have good television there. So I think maybe they could try to adjust that. But then if need be, I think production could pull last minute switch and like, okay, we're just going to do a different challenge, because clearly people were trying to game the system here.
Well, Aunt Patty might have been more athletic than Donathan. You don't know.
That is a possibility.
We will never know.
What do you guys think of the fact that I mentioned earlier, Seabass had a chance to go to Ghost Island and get an advantage? And he goes, nah, I don't need it.
I mean, he had the first call at that point. I mean, you were literally just told there is an advantage there. If it was just go to Ghost Island, and where you've sort of seen numbers wise what happens when you go there, that right. I could sort of understand, like not even spending the time with your loved one, which I understand that moment, you know, feels important, but you have the time to, you know, be socializing with other people along with their loved ones, which as we've seen can be very important. But I mean, yeah, you were flat out told, hey, there's an advantage here. So I think Wendell absolutely made the right move in jumping on it.
Yeah, no, I agree. I was surprised that Seabass didn't take it. I mean, if you know that there's going to be something there that's going to work to your advantage, whether or not it's ahead of the game or if it's even just in the next challenge, you got to jump on it.
What do you think about Seabass's picks to go to with it, to taking all the guys and leaving all the women behind? Was that a smart move?
No.
Definitely not.
I mean, it's never a good move when you have an obvious separation here. I mean, when there's just an obvious, you know, schoolyard difference of, let me, you know, whether it be male and female or original tribes, it's like you got to be wise about that stuff. I mean, a lot of times they are taking people who they kind of had, you know, bigger promises with, like in Palau and that whole thing. Like, I understand those dynamics can be in place, but it didn't seem like there was any big deal about it other than like, yeah, hey, I kind of said I'd take you, whatever. It's like, no, you got to be thinking about that. And he just wasn't.
Yeah, no, you definitely have to separate the numbers at that point. You want to keep some people away from other people. And in this case, now we've got girls against boys, basically. Definitely want to keep them separate. I was a little surprised that he went that way.
What shocked me is he didn't, you know, sometimes you get the person go, oh, come on, Jeff, you're killing me. I can't do this. He goes, yeah, I got to get Dom. I got to get Wendell, my boy Wendell. Hey, Donovan, he didn't hesitate. It was obvious who he had no problem picking who he wanted to pick.
Yeah.
Maybe he didn't even. So at this point, I think he's just there, you know, to have fun, because he has no chance to win. I think we all agree on that.
Well, at this point, how many winners could you even see? How many way, you know, all, you know, essentially stories being the same, people getting to the end. I mean, I could see maybe half the people have a chance. You know, I don't think anything more than that. And that might be generous.
I would say probably two, maybe three people at this point.
Okay. So who do you think are the only people left that actually could win right now?
I'm going to go with obviously Wendell and Dominic. Mm-hmm. And I think I want to lean towards Kellen, but I think a Kellen or an Angela can maybe pull it out. It depends who goes to the end with them.
Dominic and Wendell, though, could be problematic together, though, because I think they could cancel out votes for one another.
I think they
have a better chance of just one of them getting to the end, whether they realize that in enough time, who knows?
I think they both do. I think they realize they're going to have to cut each other's throats at one point. Because like you're saying, they both go there and cancel each other out. I think that Donathan could win if he got the right combination.
Absolutely. I said on the last time I was on the show, I think he's playing the best game out there right now.
Yeah, he's playing very an honest game. I mean, he's basically he's not great in the challenge. He did pretty well today, though, on the did better than Malcolm.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you don't need to be. I mean, Todd, he won Survivor China. He never won a single challenge.
No. But yeah, I think I don't. Angela could win, but depends. I mean, Kellen could win if she got the right group. She'd have to get the right.
I don't know. Kellen's stock is dropping week by week. I mean, I was watching when they went back to camp, I was watching this with my mom, who only kind of, you know, watches Survivor on and off. And she's just like, what is she so angry about? Like, that was her initial reaction. It's like, yeah, I mean, early on, like, she would have been my pick to win. I still think she has a shot. But at this point, I really see her more as gets to the final three and is the surprise, how did she not win type situation. But I just think the longer she's out there, she's just rubbing people the wrong way because she just seems like she's not holding it together out there.
She's a bad sport. I mean, she's definitely, she's, anytime someone doesn't get picked for, you know, going on one of these challenges and they act that way, it just is what it is. Sometimes you have to use it to your advantage. And she, you know, I think she did when she got back. Let's do the guys against the, you know, the girls. But
yeah, and they brought that on themselves. Yeah.
Right.
But I don't think she's so much a bad sport as she is just so type A that when she isn't in control, she just kind of loses it. And it's like, you got to rein that in out there. And I know it gets harder, you know, day after day, but I just think, you know, people, especially on the jury and people who've been voted out at this point, who kind of feel, you know, screwed over by people. I just feel like it's going to be one of those things where she gets held more accountable than we even think will happen at the final three. Like, I could definitely see her being a second place finisher rather than, whereas, you know, 5 weeks ago, we would have said, oh, but she would win easily in this scenario.
But do you think this is going to be a jury that's going to vote for people like you've got a Wendell and a Dominic who have basically coasted by on idols and you know, not really, I'm trying to think of how to say it, where, you know, both of them have an idol in their pocket. So everybody's pretty much afraid to vote for them, well, except for tonight, obviously, with Wendell, which I was a little surprised that, that people, you know, Laurel basically put it out there that Wendell's got the idols in his pocket.
But JP, let me ask you this. Is it coasting by on idols if you're not playing them? Because I think that makes a difference, too. If you have it and it's like, OK, we have to be aware of that. That's one thing. But you can also argue, hey, no one took a shot at me. You know, Wendell didn't play it. And he could have, and it arguably should have. But he just got feeling, and he was, thankfully for him, right, that he didn't have to. It's like he was vulnerable. Just because you have the idol doesn't mean you're invincible. It's not the super idol, thank God. I think people are going to be more graceful and more appreciative of the gameplay and something like that than opposed to someone who, you know, it's like, have to play. I got my idol, play it, then found another one, played it next tribal, then played the next tribal. Then it was like, okay, well, dude, we couldn't have voted you out. So of course you made it to the end. But,
right.
You know, but what'd you want for us? I mean, I think even if they have the idol, as long as they're smart about, hey, I had it, I knew when to play it, I was strategic, I think that's a much better situation. That's why I think Wendell is in a better situation than Dominic, because Dominic's just a little bit more aggressive with this sort of thing, whereas Wendell is trying to play it cool.
Yeah, and I think if Wendell were to make it to jury, or to, if Wendell were to make it to the final three, I think, especially tonight, the fact that, I mean, I really thought he was going to play the idol tonight. And I'm really glad that he didn't, because I think that shows a little bit of his strength right there with what he's saying.
He's got some brass ones. I'll just say that.
Exactly. Exactly. There were a lot of balls tonight.
Well, I mean, if we're to believe the editing, that group seemed to think, oh, this is going to be a landslide for Chelsea. So why would, you know what I mean? So it's like, in theory, we as audience went like, ooh, okay, he probably should have played the idol, but he was just okay. But if we're to believe what the story we were being told on the episode was, they didn't think it would be anything that close.
Right. That's the third time I said Wendell should play his idol and he didn't.
Hmm?
So Wendell knows a hell of a lot more what's going on than me. I mean,
I think that's a lot of bonus points for him. Yeah.
Yeah. I said, Wendell, come on. I mean, the way that, I mean, Donathan comes out talking right away, and you could see that everyone's looking at him like, shh, be quiet. That's going further. Do you, if you're going to try a blindside, do you bring Donathan in? I say no.
I mean, but I think Donathan's kind of the linchpin. I think he is kind of dictating where he and Laurel go, for sure. Mm-hmm. And I think, like I said, what's so smart about his game, I think I brought this up last time, was he knows kind of the basic rule of there needs to always be a bigger target, because if there isn't one, it's going to be you.
Right.
And I think he's that person that if there isn't a bigger target, it will be him, because eventually people, and this will happen no matter what, but if we're down to like the final tribal, then okay, you can kind of deal with that. But eventually enough people are going to turn and say, wait a second, everyone likes this guy. He hasn't really lied to anyone. He's played well. He's caring for his entire family. Of course, people are going to want to give $1 million. Like, this is not someone you want to sit next to at the end. And the fact that it hasn't happened for him yet, I think, is a testimony to how good of a game he's playing.
I agree too.
So that brings up another question. What type of a jury do you think we're going to have? I mean, we have kind of a bit of a rogues gallery on there right now that I really don't know, you know, which way they're going to be leaning with their questions and now kind of the discussion format that we have. I mean, Jack, where do you think we're going to go with that?
It I think it depends on who gets to the finals, but I don't see at this point a bitter jury.
No, almost more of a blasé jury, or maybe that's just like, me reacting to the season.
Because because the people that got voted, the people in the jury right now, you're looking and go, they kind of played the game, but they weren't like gung ho. I mean, they weren't like strategy. But if it comes down to Dom, Wendell, and say Laurel, maybe I would, that would be tough. She might be able to get the split vote and get in there, but I always hope it's not a bitter jury. Just my attitude towards the game is, yeah, I got voted out, but I'm going to vote for the person I thought played the better game, not the first person that didn't screw me over.
I think at this point, my optimal final three, for no other reason than I think it would be an interesting question of who would actually win, would probably be Kellen, Wendell, and Donathan. I think that those are three very different players, three very different games, three very different stories. I think that'd be a fascinating final three. And I think Dominic, as interesting as a person he is, I just see him as more of a jury member, like he's a fifth or fourth type out. And I think him being on the jury might stir up the jury a little bit in a good way. You know, like I can't see Sebastian making the final. I mean, that would just be the ultimate, like, you know, third place doesn't get any votes type of kind of a blank spot. I mean, I think that if you had that grouping, I think it would be very interesting. And then I think, you know, it would really come down to, I think, a lot of the questioning, and then we'd really sort of find out what does the jury hold more in terms of what type of gameplay. You had that, you know, very aggressive male, typical alpha male dominant gameplay. You had the like controlling, smart, you know, Kellen gameplay. And then you had, you know, the bit of under the radar Donathan gameplay. I think at that point you would have very interesting styles. And if you had Dominic in there, you could kind of say the same thing for Wendell if it was, you know, one or the other. I think, like I said earlier, I think having both of them on there is bad news for both of them. So, I mean, I think at that point that could be interesting. And I think, you know, the one silver lining is we do have a lot of the more interesting people left. And so we could end up with a fun final couple of weeks here.
What do you think, JP?
I think, I would love to, first of all, I would love to see a jury where we are voting based on play. You know, it's been, this is a great season for that, I think. I would love to see what happens if we get a Donathan, a Kellen, and a Wendell there. You've got some, you know, just what you were saying, you know, you've got some different sides there, and I don't know at this point which way, based on who's in the jury, I don't know which way they're thinking yet. You know, if they're going to be grudges, or if they're focused on the play.
All right, so we got Wendell going to Ghost Island. What do we think of the advantage? So, you know, not for nothing. I mean, you know, that definitely could have affected things. It didn't end up doing it. But, I mean, I think they also, with the guarantee of we'll give you something, also put in a guarantee of this affects the game now. I don't think that was an accident.
No, because if it's something that you can use later on, I think that would have been probably, I don't like it. If it's going to give an advantage, it should be for that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little boring, and at this point, we don't have too much later on left, so.
Right, exactly, but I did find it funny that he did go, he got Malcolm's, you know, advantage, and he went out the same way Malcolm did. I thought it was funny.
Well, Jack, the curse has not been reversed.
So no, it hasn't been reversed, but to me, I was always shocked that Malcolm couldn't do that challenge, and I was shocked that Wendell was terrible at it.
I also think they're kind of like running out of advantages that, you know, didn't get thrown into a fire at some point. This, like, I even remember when Malcolm was given this advantage, you know, based on what the challenge is, it's almost like a wasted advantage. I don't think if you mess up the first time with how sore your arms are at that point, you know, maybe you'll get another 5 minutes out of this. But
right, if you're down to the last two people, it might save you. But beyond that, if it's the start of the challenge.
Yeah, like I said, yeah, he needed to be down to like two or three people where it would affect him. But I didn't realize when he dropped the ball, they all got to reset. I said, no, that's kind of
But I guess, I mean, how else would you do it? Because you can't.
I guess it's a fair way.
He could sit out for 10 minutes until they're waiting for the next round to start. I mean,
yeah, I would be putting my blocks. I would be taking my time. So I guess it's a fair way to do it, but.
Although I did enjoy Mr. Sestranino's tweet. If you think there's a curse on the loser of that challenge from Survivor Philippines, wait until you hear what happened to the winner. Get it, because of Michael Scoobin.
Yeah, I do remember that now.
That's true. Yeah.
Don't Google, kids. Don't. Nothing good will come.
No, kids, stay away from that one. Let's see.
Is this the point where I'm supposed to cue up the girl crying because Malcolm's eliminated?
Poor Malcolm. But you were going back to people in the finals. If Wendell gets to the finals, I think he wins it.
Maybe. I think he has a good argument for what he did. I think the shots against him would probably be, did you connect with all of us on the jury, or did you kind of just do your own thing with your boy Dom and you guys just kind of did this and did that? Whereas, you know, someone like Kellen can say, hey, we got the girl power and we were trying and we were fighting these guys. And then Donathan is, you know, hey, I connected with everyone. I was honest with everyone and we made some strategic decisions and I'm here. But I think that's why that combination would be interesting.
I think if it's Wendell, and Donathan, you're going to have a close vote. But if it's Wendell and anybody else, I think Wendell's going to take it.
So, speaking of votes, I mean, was targeting Chelsea the right move?
Yes.
Definitely.
She, like Dominic said, she's a beast. She's a challenge beast. I mean, she's probably the best of what's left of the group and the challenges. I mean, I was shocked she dropped out. She had wasn't even struggling. And then all of a sudden, I think Jeff got in her ear. You know, Jeff tends to talk a little bit. And she lost concentration. And I think that's the only reason she lost.
Because I guess the other argument would have been Laurel again, similar to last week in terms of like try to take out the wild card.
But Dominic and Wendell need her. So they're not going to vote her out yet.
Yeah. I mean, if they really thought that they had Donathan in their pocket, which in for this vote, at least they did, you know, there would have been more wiggle room there. But it's like, again, when you have this two-person combo of Donathan and Laurel that is sort of like, and she certainly is seems to be going the way that he wants. I mean, at this point with seven people left, a two-person team, that especially one that's kind of been the belle of the ball for these two sides, I mean, that's not nothing. I mean, that's a powerful two-person vote right there.
Yeah, I think at this point you do want to keep Donathan and especially Laurel around, you know, just to maintain those numbers. You know, obviously, and I mean, hopefully Laurel does wake up and realize that when they're done using her, she's going to be at the bottom of whatever pack that she's a part of. And, you know, she'll need to wake up at some point and try to get some numbers on her side.
But, you know, you see this every year.
Of course, it
seems like they never seem to wake up. They're like, OK, I just want to be here one more day. I just want to be here one more day. All right. I've made it to the finals. Anything can happen. You've seen it before where someone, like, I can't believe that person won. That maybe that's what they're going with. I mean, you never know.
I was going to say also, that's why I think it was a smart idea to vote out Chelsea. You're eliminating somebody who is more or less that beast that could go on an immunity run and just keep winning back-to-backs.
Right. Plus, she was on, you know, Kellen's side. And so you eliminated that power right there. I mean, I don't know what Kellen does next. She could be next to go. But at this point, does someone at this point go, all right, we can make the big move now?
We shall see.
Does someone take out Donathan or Wendell? But they both still have idols, and they're both, you know, they could win a challenge. So that we'll see what happens. Would today have been a good time to actually take out Wendell and get rid of him?
I mean, I don't know if Dominic is looking at it like that. You know what I mean? That's the problem. I think right now for him, especially, there are too many people still in this game. And he's saying, you know, look, I need my teammate here. I think they're both in trouble if they don't turn on each other at some point. But I mean, I don't think certainly that group was looking at it. I mean, half the cast wanted to get Wendell out. But I think at this point, Dominic especially would go, well, if he goes this week, then I'm definitely going next week. I mean, because they are pretty unbreakable, those two.
Well, I was thinking more from Donathan and Laurel's point of view. Would have been better for them to go and get Wendell out?
I think this is where it came down to, that I think he definitely, even though I think he has ins with everyone, if all of a sudden it was the ladies in power, I think the eyes turn on him much faster than if it's the guys in power. And I think he really swayed the vote that way for that reason. I think he knows he has better inroads with Dominic and Wendell, because they're probably, if it, you know, time comes when they start eyeing each other, they're probably both going to be looking at Donathan as their backup vote. And I think he knows that there are probably more options that way than if then all of a sudden it was, you know, Kellen running the show. Who knows what's going to happen, but it's probably not going to be good for him.
That's true.
Yeah, I think Donathan is kind of like that sway vote where Laurel, you can pull her along, but you are going to cut her loose pretty quickly.
So do we have just next week? Is that the finale, or do we have one more after that?
I think it ends the 23rd.
Okay, so we got one more. We got one more regular week,
right?
And then we got the 3-hour extravaganza. Yeah. So, because it looked like the ad kind of showed it was pretty much your last normal episode. So probably a calm before the storm. Sometimes those episodes aren't that exciting, but this one, I mean, probably has a little bit more chance, you know, whereas, as you know, I think they smartly have kind of compacted, you know, that almost final vote moment into just like the first 20 minutes of the finale episode, which I think works generally. So we got one more regular episode and then we have our finale. So I mean, it'd be interesting, you know, we'll tally the vote later on and see who we're picking to go. But that was one thing I came away from this episode with, is at least even though this might give us sort of a non-interesting jury, I do think we have more potential for an interesting finish. In that, I mean, early on, would you have ever thought Dominic would have lasted this long? I certainly didn't. I think I picked him to go every time I've been on the show this season. But I mean, we have some of these bigger personalities that, you know, by hook or by crook, have actually stayed along much longer than you would have thought. I mean, even someone like Kellen, easily, if she had, you know, been at this level early on, she probably would have been targeted. So, you know, I think if we get, you know, someone like a Sebastian vote out, or even an Angela vote out next week, you know, that probably would sort of complete we're throwing the less dynamic people out on the jury. And then, you know, we could actually have a pretty fascinating finale.
You think Dominic stayed because his tribe was stronger?
Probably. Yeah.
It helps. I mean, if you're not going to tribal council, it's hard for you not to be voted off.
It is.
Or hard for you to be voted off.
Yes, it's. And if you go to Ghost Island, it's hard for something to happen.
But like I said, I thought for sure, especially when he raised his hand against Chris right in the beginning, and I said, "Oh, dude, what are you doing?"
Yeah.
Yeah.
But here we have it.
He's there and Chris is on the jury.
That'll teach you, Chris, for not raising your hands.
I was going to say, too, earlier, you know, with Chris being at Ponderosa from day one, and he's very vocal, and he was, at least when he was in the game. You think he will try to sway people his way in voting the way he wants people to vote? I mean, that could hurt a Dominic, because they didn't seem to get along if he's bitter towards him. Do you think he is working? Because you always have that one guy that's always blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
Could he be doing that on Ponderosa, trying to influence the vote?
Maybe. I mean, did it seem like I haven't watched any of the Ponderosa videos. Does it seem like he has a preference forming right now? Does he have like specific statements he's saying about the people left in the game?
No, I've just only seen the first three. He didn't say anything, but I would wonder if they would show that.
See, at this point, I sort of go like, I feel like the people on the jury really don't necessarily have these strong opinions. I mean, I think he might feel that way about Dominic initially, but then I could also see a guy like that saying like, but you know, look, if the guy makes it to the final three, all the power to him. You know what I mean? Like, right. I think he could have that attitude too. I mean, I sort of like what you're saying. I don't see a bitter jury. I also don't necessarily see an emotional jury one way or another, maybe is the better word to use. Like, I don't necessarily see them being that angry or this, you know, especially by the time, you know, we get a couple weeks, you know, into, you know, when they've actually been voted off. I think the best ending we can actually have to this season is to get these three, you know, distinctly different but interesting people in the finals. You know, I think something like that could be interesting. I think it'd be interesting if they pull a final two and we get a very interesting different final two. I mean, we get like a Donathan Wendell or a Kellen Dominic final two. That could be really fascinating too. And maybe this is a good season to do that.
Well, you would know this more than I would, but have they ever had a final three where all three of them you thought could have won it?
I would say all three of them thought could have won it. I'd say maybe Survivor China had a chance for it. I mean, I think Todd had the best chance going in. Everyone thought Amanda was going to do much better than she did. And then, you know, we have her infamous horrible final tribal council performances.
Right.
But, you know, that was a surprise to people at the time. Like, everyone thought Amanda was going to do better. There were fake spoilers at the beginning of that season that Amanda won. So when so when she got to the end, people were like, oh, she wins easily. Todd's probably in second place because they're there's going to be a bitter jury and they're going to be angry that he was, you know, the mischief maker of all that. No, I mean, he, you know, they that was a jury that he kind of convinced and kind of was able to respect. Like, look, I did were not in malice. They were just in, you know, wanting to win this game. And then you had Amanda, who had a lackluster performance in generals, who probably could have gotten more votes. Every time I rewatch China, I always say Courtney Yates really could have had a shot to win if she had just kind of cared at the final tribal council. But like, seriously, she just has this like kind of F you attitude to everyone, which is clear in life in the game. But like, I mean, she's this like 80-pound person who makes it to the end, and she kind of brings that up a little bit. But it's like, if she had really hammered that home of like, look how, you know, she was the girl who literally had to saw the rope because she couldn't swing a sword in that challenge. And here she is at the final. I mean, you would never pick her to be at the end. And she was the second place vote getter. I mean, it's like, I think if she had had a really dominant performance, she could have given Todd a run for his money. So even though the votes didn't filter out that way, I think that was a three that you could have had, you know, one way or another, you know, looks at as anyone then could have had a chance. And normally, and this is the argument against the final three, it comes down to there usually is a one and a two, and then a third person that gets no votes or maybe one. I mean, it's only been a handful of times that all three people at the end have gotten votes. Like, that in and of itself is pretty uncommon. So, you know, not too often, but that's why if we could have it here, I think that would redeem the season a little bit. Or, like I said, maybe they sort of look at who's left and say, you know what, this is a good final too, because it might just be a better ending.
Would you, I'll ask both of you this, would you rather be a four and be voted out, or to get to the final three and be the third person that doesn't get any votes? I think I'd rather be the fourth guy. I don't think I know you get a little more money when you get to the third, but I get there and I go, nobody thought I deserved to win the game. Nobody, come on, nobody thought I played a good enough game.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that speaks to more the game you played, because if you were voted out at four, then you were probably a threat, so you probably did something right.
What I'm saying from an ego point.
Yeah, I mean, if you get to the end and you just get no votes, I mean, it pretty much shows your impact on the game, and you probably have less of a chance of ever being asked back. So, yeah, I mean, I certainly think in that point, you know, vote me out, and that probably is a compliment.
I mean, I know they go to all those reunions. I'd be sitting there like, really, you couldn't have voted for me? Not one vote? Anyway.
Yeah, no, I agree. I wouldn't want to be the last person picked for kickball, but I don't mind being the second last person picked.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. I always thought about that. I go, God, you always going back to Ty, who I thought, I'll never understand how he didn't get a vote. I mean, how this guy didn't get a vote, but that's okay. You can work hard around camp, it doesn't get you a vote. But anyway.
But I mean, that tells us something, right? I mean, that tells us now in multiple seasons with him, there were, you know, this is a guy who gets this amazing edit. I mean, wouldn't he? I mean, I think I'm sure you guys and back on the tribe, I think in our preseason shows, it's like, well, this guy obviously will never make it to the end, because if he did, he would win in a landslide, and then he gets no votes, and he does. And you're like, okay, well, something. I mean, that's interesting on a certain level.
The first time he went, it was a bitter jury, extremely bitter jury. So that hurt him. But the second time, I think he's been there twice, right?
Yeah, but I think the second time informed the first time, because I remember talking about this in our season finale show, that I think the second time was a little more obvious of what went wrong, in the sense of he kind of was a little wishy-washy. Like, he kind of wouldn't commit to voting people out, and, you know, yeah, who's he going to be with? And
that's true, yeah.
And that was a big, especially in a returning player season where, you know, we're going to have the great gameplay. Like, that's going to, you know, be a hit against you. And it's like, have a funny feeling, especially because it was either a back-to-back season, or it was, you know, the next season after. Like, he came back very quickly. Right. I think that there's a good chance, like, oh, maybe that first season's making a little more sense now, too.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it either way, it gives you information.
Very true.
Definitely.
All right, Jack, what do you say we tally the vote here?
Well, we got two emails.
All right. So I don't know the format of the show, and I've been on it three times this season.
I've been on for 4 years. I don't know the format.
All right.
So that's okay. First one I have from Sean. Evening, folks. Hope you are having a great week. Wasted no time, so neither will I. Wow, Wendell was so emotional. She who must not be named next. Donathan, Aunt Patty, so sweet. Angela, kind of interested. Okay, that was Dusty. Mo just said, whoa, so pretty. Jeff, don't get choked up. Chelsea, I'm reading this on my iPad, so it's really small print. Chelsea. Ha, love you, told you I'd beat you out here, part. Laurel, dude, is holding it in. Sebastian, Mo, oh, she's cute. Mo is his daughter, for you people.
Is this an email from someone on the show? Like, what's going on?
It's Sean always gives a recap of what they're saying at the time. Mo, oh, she's so cute, too. Ah, what a relationship. Dom, wife gets me every time. Ha, love you and hate you so much. Love it. That would be my wife and I. Love all the digs that go under the challenges, mainly because I have to dig such a huge hole. My ass is so big. My old ass. That's why I go back to Wendell. He's skinny. He's athletic. He had like a huge head start on digging. What was he doing?
Is he what the kids call skinny fat? Is that what's going on there?
I don't know. I kept looking at Wendell. I go, how is he still digging the hole?
Like, that was great with Dominic's wife. Is Jeff's like, and just, you know, first time you're seeing him in 30 days, like, what do you want to say? I've been in agony. It's like, right, just, why don't you go over the side now? Thank you.
Sebastian, way to go. Now the hard part of the challenge. Good choice. Not a Dom fan, but right choice. Don, nice, but leaves the girls to make an alliance and Wendell pissed them off perhaps even more. We didn't even talk about that. You see Kellen's face when Dom got to go to get the advantage. I thought she was going to kill somebody.
Well, and then, I mean, her logic was like, he could have taken one of us and then instead, and that would be someone who gets to spend time with their loved one. But it's like, but you could have just gone to Ghost Island too. Like, you don't know that for a fact. Like, I understand this frustration in that moment, but it's like, okay, Kellen, just calm down a little bit.
Yeah. Yep. Dangerous. She must not be named is right on. Haha. That's impossible challenge. Going to need it. The advantage is knowing what the challenge is, getting to practice, but didn't help. Because he did get to practice, but still didn't help him. Yeah. Love that Donathan is starting to play. She, who must not be named, is angry. I think we know who she's talking. Do we know who he's talking about now? Laurel. Just got the kiss of death in the confessional. Damn, Jeff's shoes are shiny and new. I think the key to this challenge is not to over-squeeze. That's what she said.
Yeah, it's the key to life, really.
Key to life. Well, I think Jeff even said, you know, in his many things, you have to balance. You have to have two hands that are doing the same thing. But thanks, Jeff, for that tip.
Yeah. Well, some of the old Chinese, you know, finger trap thing. Like you just see the more you try to fight it, the worse it's going to be for you.
Exactly.
You have to be nice and smooth.
Do they still sell those?
Probably somewhere. Okay. I used to see those in those, you know, you ever get those like weird catalogs in the mail of like, you know, it was like the sci-fi store. Like they would have like games and Starfleet uniforms, then also like Chinese finger traps. It was like they had a little bit of everything, but it was all kind of cool. Like I still kind of wanted it all.
Yeah. I think they have an Oriental trading company has all that stuff. If you Google
Jack,
it.
Jack, that's Asian trading company.
Oh, I'm sorry. But they have all that stuff in there that you can order and stuff and have hours and hours and hours of fun. Let's see. Where am I at? Yikes. Oh, no, I'm sorry. She, who must not be named, out first. Nice. Mo just said she's really not good at these. Yikes. Wendell used that early and out. Ticked off the ladies for nothing. Geez, Sebastian barely had that lifted. Bye-bye, Laurel. Laurel, Dom versus Don. And the music swells. Dom wins. Chelsea is smart choice, as is Wendell, tribal. Mo just got us super excited to see Michael. Let's see. Oops, Donathan just blew it. Could we, the audience, be the one blindsided? Could be brilliant. Could flush out Wendell's idol, likely. And then votes with the guys anyway. If so, he may deserve it. Whoa! Didn't play it. At that point, I really thought he, I mean, I know we talked about it earlier. I'm like, how can you not play your idol? I mean, he doesn't blink. I'd be in a puddle of pee.
I mean, Chelsea was getting a lot of airtime though this episode, so I was like, "Huh, okay."
Yeah, giving her goodbye episode.
Yeah,
there's also got to be a lot of editing that we're not seeing that just made Wendell feel that comfortable.
I guess, but man, he's cool under pressure. I didn't pick him for my final guy, but I have no problem with him winning.
He learned that all from original Wendell. That's what we found out.
There you go. But no, boo, ultimately a boring vote. She is she's good at the challenge, so hard to argue with her, but really not an exciting choice. I think it was a good choice because she is good at the challenges.
Yeah, I absolutely think
And I don't think you're going to get her on your side either. I think she's been anti-Wendell and Dom from the beginning. So, and has there ever been a better looking jury? My God.
Yeah, nice looking jury.
It is a nice looking jury. Yeah. Donathan may just win this, and Sebastian still has his stoner eyes. Anyway, have a great show. Listen tomorrow. Sean and Mo. There we go. So what do you think? I never really thought about that. It's a good-looking jury.
Here we go. Well, that season gets something.
So best-looking jury ever? What do you? Are we going to vote on that?
I got to say, yeah, definitely.
We took the best-looking jury ever and left them on Ghost Island. Can you break the curse in 5 seasons?
6 years later, they're all ugly. They aged. Let's see. Another from Victoria. DJ, you got the answers. Whoa, that was a close one. Dang, gone. Kellen, can you leave now? she is not a fan favorite, Kellen. If she wouldn't have thrown 2 votes on Laurel, then maybe the Woman Alliance could have been flourished. That's another thing we didn't talk about. I think Laurel made the right decision. You just had someone throw 2 votes on you.
That is very true. Although,
Two.
Yeah. At this point left in the game, number one, I was thinking Kellen should have said, hey, I had this advantage and I had to play at this tribal council. Right. Like, she should have maybe given herself that out of like, look, I had to use it. So I'm, you know, I had to put it for who I was voting for anyway, as opposed to like, no, I just really wanted to put 2 votes on for you, this tribal council.
But either way, I think you lose because you're like going, okay, now I want to be on your alliance.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, we are getting far enough in the game where it does a little bit become like the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Like, it just, you know, at this point, if there's just a greater good for your game, I understand putting that aside. But like, yeah, I mean, that certainly wasn't going to help anything.
Yeah, I liked how she because they basically figured out who it was. I mean, I didn't do it. Okay, it was me. You had to put 2 votes on you. She could have said Michael had played one. I only voted for you, one on you and one on Michael. Michael wasn't there to defend himself, right?
Yeah, I mean,
it's true, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, at this point, you can't be honest. You can't say, yeah, I put 2 votes on you.
Yeah, and I just think in those moments, like, it just becomes, like, they just knew. like they just figured out, like, occasionally, even in Survivor, you do have those moments of, like, just own up to it. It's just going to be easier in the short term.
I don't know. I would have lied. I blame the guy that's not there. I mean, you can say I played one, because her point was, you know, kept hearing my name, and I was worried about going home, so I put the 2 votes on you because that's why I heard people were voting for you. But I don't know, you're putting 2 votes on someone the next week. You're asking them to be in my alliance. Trust me.
Yeah, I mean, then it becomes like, okay, well, when did he get that? When did he get that? You know, advantage, and how did you know? I mean, there are other right. questions that would come of that, and then. I don't know. It probably didn't, you know, I don't know. I was going to say, I don't think it did affect anything, but like maybe, I mean, that could have been the linchpin for Laurel.
So basically that advantage sucks.
Well, that's kind of been the theme to the season, hasn't it, Jack?
Kellen has no clue how to play Survivor. It makes me nervous that she's a career counselor. I'm sure if her students came to her and told her that they were good with their hands, she would tell them to be a foot doctor. Ugh.
All right, who's this email by?
This is from Victoria.
Okay, Victoria will be at the San Francisco Funny Bone at 5 p.m. This Saturday night. Everyone go to see her. It should be a very good show.
Oh, hey, Miss Kellen. I really like to dance, but I need help at a career. Her response being, Amtrak is hiring.
Wow. Only 18 more of these left, guys. Let's get going.
Anywho, it sucks that Seabass actually won the challenge, but still only got 14 seconds of air time. So my next pick is Donathan because he's really messy right now and all over the place. Victoria. that was a great email. Yes.
Jack very much enjoyed that.
I enjoyed it. It's funny when you, because I'll read ahead and I'm laughing before I get to the punchline. that's all we got for feedback, but I enjoyed that. That was funny.
That was great. Thank you.
Thanks, Sean, and thanks, Victoria.
All right, so now we tally the vote.
Yeah, I can't remember who picked who last week. I forgot to ask, and I could never remember even who I pick, even though we're down to like, I think I picked Kellen.
Okay, well, then lead us off. Who are you saying this time?
Well, I got to stick with my choice, unless there's some kind of big swing in Laurel and Donathan they could blindside Dominic and Wendell, but they both have idols out there. And I think Laurel is, I think she's staying low, but I think she's also, she always keeps mentioning their idols and how she's afraid to come back and bite her. So I think she's content with just getting to the final three. So I think it has to be Kellen. I think this is the week Kellen goes home.
And all right, yeah, I'll do Jay because I've always been in his place. You know, I would agree with you. I think she's in a lot of danger. I also think, you know, we do have these couple of people with idols. There definitely could be the flushing effect, and we sort of saw that in the previews a little bit. So then you have to ask yourself, okay, if they throw votes their way a little bit, who could this bounce back on? And it would kind of be like a secondary person, but maybe falls into the same category. So for that reason, I'm thinking this could bounce back, and it might be a Seabass's time. I could see the votes bouncing back on him.
He's the guy, though, I definitely want to take to the final three. Because I know he's not going to get a vote. Right?
What about you, JP? You're going to pick for Colleen this week.
I'm going to pick for Colleen. I'm going to go with... I want to go with Kellen. I want to go with Angela. I think if the numbers stay where they are, I think you're going to lose one of them. If I have to pick one... See, I feel like Kellen's going to go a little bit further in the game. So I'm going to go with Angela.
Yeah, I could see that happening too.
That's a good pick, Colleen.
Oh, thank you.
That's a nice pick.
Thank you.
Actually, I forgot about Angela.
Do you want to wager anything to change your vote?
No, I'm sticking with because I'm ahead right now. There's no reason for me to wager anything.
Can I wager all of Colleen's points on anything?
I think so. I think that's it's she's not here to defend herself. What do you think, John? Can he make a bet?
Yeah, I have no problem with that.
All right, so I don't know how many points Colleen has, but if we want to take, so you want me to bet my points versus Colleen's points?
That sounds good.
No, I'm not doing it. There's no reason for me to do it.
So I mean, JP, let me ask you, who would be your winner pick right now?
My winner pick right now is I'm gonna go safe and say Wendell. I think it'll be Wendell.
Okay.
I got to go with Wendell also.
Yeah.
You know, just to be different, I will say Donathan, because I think there are multiple combinations of finals where he could excel in.
If they don't get him out, he could, you know, say you have a Donathan, Wendell, and Dominic, which I don't think Wendell and Dominic would be stupid enough to take each other to the finals.
But let's not underestimate them.
Yeah, but if you say, okay, that you have those three, I think that's probably one of the best final three you've had as far as who could win. But I agree with you, John. I think Donathan could win the game.
Yeah.
Who do you think, if you have Wendell in the final three, who do you think he's taking? I mean, obviously we don't want him to take Dominic. Who do you think he's taking with him at this point?
Seabass or Angela and Kellen. That's who I'm. If I'm Wendell, I'm taking the two people I know I can beat.
Maybe. I don't know if they're looking at Donathan as being a threat, though. I could see him taking him. You know, yeah. I mean, because we haven't really gotten that narrative at all. Yeah, this is one of those where I think there's, especially with the way the season has been so segmented, I think there's probably a little bit of a lack of information out there in terms of how people are relating to one another. And I think literally people on both sides might not be aware of the ins that Donathan seems to have on either side. Because they're looking, even with this vote, it was like, well, Donathan, Laurel, they're kind of, you know, in some ways calling the shots, or they're, you know, they're the free agents just because of how, you know, the old tribal numbers, you know, went out, and then now people are kind of against one another. But it was never like, oh, people, you know, really like working with him, so therefore both sides want him and seem valuable. They're kind of looking at him as just a chess piece of like, oh, he's just in, they're in a good position, so that's why people want them. I don't necessarily know if everyone's aware of like, no, this guy, you know, has good relationships with people, and that's what this game comes down to.
Yeah, he's built a lot of relationships. Do you think it hurts him though when he goes, yeah, I'm at the bottom of the totem pole, I'm at the bottom of this group? Do you think that hurts him, or does it help him?
I mean, it hasn't hurt him in terms of, you know, being targeted.
Right.
I don't see why the jury would. I mean, I think if anything, they're seeing that this guy, you know, the last thing you want is a tie-like situation, as in the guy, not the thing, which two people get the same score, right. Where you go, oh, he's a really nice guy, but he didn't do anything. you know, like at tribal councils, Jonathan, you know, it kind of stirs stuff up in a still politely Southern way that he has about him. Like
he's got that Southern charm. So
yeah. And that's a dangerous combination at this point.
You know, Dominic could say the same things and you'd be thinking, what a jerk.
Exactly. He's so obnoxious. You're 100% right. But that matters.
Yeah. But do you think Jonathan, though, by saying, could people say, okay, if I'm going to the final three with him and he keeps saying every week, I'm on the bottom. I said, he admitted every week we just brought him along. He kept saying he was on the bottom. He was on the bottom. We just brought him along. That would be my argument to not vote for Jonathan.
Yeah, but I think I just feel like that would be such an easy argument to counter by Jonathan of like, well, of course I'm going to say that. And you guys, and then yet, you know, yet I'm still here. Yet I've kind of controlled the vote every time. It's all been about who I decided to side with. I mean, if anything, you know, he's the most powerful in this game right now. He's not at the bottom of anything.
Yeah, you know? I know he's just saying it to say it, but.
Yeah, you know, I will give the jury a little more credit than that.
And I'm looking at who's left in the game, and I think Jonathan is, out of everybody that's left, Jonathan is going to give you that best jury performance. You know, just what you just said, you know, he is very likable. He could say the same thing that Dominic's going to say, and Dominic's not going to come off right. But Jonathan could say, yeah, I set fire to your tent, and he's just so likable.
You know, I set fire to your tent. I know you did. It was so funny. I
mean, exactly.
Dominic, I've set fire to, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. Go ahead.
I was going to just say, though, I would love to see a Seabass performance in the final three.
See, I wouldn't.
See, this would be Seabass. I didn't expect to get here.
Hey, I know that guy.
Somebody brings a pizza in.
He's like, hey, I set fire to my own tent.
Poor Seabass. Poor Seabass.
And Dom's wife runs in. It's like, it was agony, okay? The flames were everywhere. It was fire.
And Kelly just screams, sure, you get a fire. I guess we're not cold over here.
Kellen went a little Oprah on that one, Josh. Like, and you get a fire, and you get a fire.
I could see her doing that. She's a bit on the emotional side. Anyway.
Right. Kellen's favorite things. Let's make it happen.
Anger. All right. Great job tonight, guys. I think you filled in great for the two, the power couple that's not here.
Oh, this is always fun. And you know, what's also fun is thanking your guys' wonderful sponsors.
Yeah. If you know, this show is possible by our patrons. If you'd like to become a patron, go to patreon.com/JandJack or just go to jandjack.com. There's a little button that says become a patron. Just click on that. Every little bit helps. You shop Amazon. Who doesn't? You go to jandjack.com/ and I never could remember that correctly. But just you go on jandjack.com. There's a button there. You click on Amazon. And it looks like your normal Amazon homepage. Everything you order. And JP, if you're ordering something, I won't look and see what it is. I really haven't looked in weeks and months and years about, you know, it was fun at first to see what people were ordering. And then it got kind of scary.
I didn't want you to find out you were getting fire to play with your grandson.
I still, you know how many people I've had the box sitting here on my desk. And when I posted the picture, is that a real game? Anyway, JP got me a Seinfeld book, which I started reading yesterday. But the box came in this, what is it called? Fire starter kit?
My first fire pit.
My first pit with a young kid. And I'm looking at it when he gave it to me. I go, thanks, JP. I thought it was real. And then when you told me, I opened up. Then Colleen came over. I go, yeah, Zach and I are going to play this tonight. And she's just looking at me like, okay.
Nice. So Kellen would have loved that gift.
She would have. Well, I think Colleen's single. I have another son. So, you know,
exactly. Hedge your bets at this point.
Anyway.
Do you think TSA would have really let me through with that?
I don't know. You're in Newark.
That's true.
That airport's pretty crazy. But we also like to thank five patrons at this time. Tack from Tokyo, Eckhart Rickner Glaffelter, Molly the Millennial, Ed the Creepy Letter Carry, and Maggie the Magnificent. Thanks for doing what you're doing. Thanks for everyone, what you're doing. And thanks again for John and JP for stepping in and helping us out. I had a great time. I thought it was a fun little way of doing this. Good format. And
Absolutely.
Anyway.
And I'm looking forward to the end of the season. I think we actually could have a lot of fun in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, as far as the Survivor was so boring in the beginning, but now it's kicking up and it's interesting. So anyway, that's all I got.
All right. Thank you for having me.
No, it was great. Hasta luego and goodbye.
Bye.
Take care. Take care.